Dan, I'm so excited that you're here, dude. This is so exciting because you're Renee's boyfriend and you can dish all the dirt on Renee. There's got to be loads of dirt. Is there loads of dirt?
I mean, right now I can sort of see her glaring at me.
So yeah, she's right there.
Yeah, I'd rather not want to look at her.
Imagine she's not here. If it was just me and you and we were in a pub and we were both like totally wasted.
I am here though.
And I was like, does she do anything? Is she weird? Does she do weird things around the house? What would you say?
Just probably like little nods. Nods and wings.
What are you talking about?
I don't really know what he's talking about, but, but I like it.
No, I don't like it.
She does weird nods and wings.
Well, no, I try to get across what she does through nods and wings.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, so like you're code. Trying to... Okay,
like,
so
like
you're
man
trying,
code.
Man code.
Yeah.
So, like, do, like, two blinks if she does, like... Does she have a teddy? Say yes. Two blinks if she's got a teddy. Is it called... What's it called? How do you blink that?
I don't like this.
She's right there.
I can maybe, like, wink.
Morse code.
I'm in the room.
Go on, what's your teddy called, Renee? Go on, just say. It's fine.
I don't know what teddy you're talking about.
Not like a teddy, not like a sexy teddy. Not like
what's, you know, a sexy teddy?
Well, a teddy is like an undergarment. I was talking about an actual teddy, like a Build-A-Bear workshop.
Yeah, that's
type
what
thing.
I was talking about.
Yeah, so was I. I wasn't even thinking about you and a teddy. Why would I do that? It's weird. Especially in front of Dan.
It's got so weird.
Anyway, let's just do the show, shall we?
Stand by for audio. Got it.
And now,
the Alex Baker Show brings you one of the most exciting events it's ever been our privilege to bring.
Here we go again.
And this is just the beginning.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Oh, yes. Welcome to it, my friends. Booming out across the whole nation right now. This is Kerrang Radio. And this is Bring Me the Horizon. 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 Doesn't really work doing your own echo effect. It is Sunday night. That means it is one thing and one thing only. The Ali Bizzle Show, my friends. Thank you very much for joining me. My name's Alex Baker here. Sunday nights from 9 till 10 to fill your mind with nonsense for an hour. Apologies that we weren't here last week. And do you know what, Renee? Oh, God, last week. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I had a tweet off this guy. I can't remember his name. But he tweeted saying, Alex, I'm a loyal listener. I've been listening for years. And you keep missing the show. And it's getting really annoying. I actually felt my heart break in my chest. Do you remember that episode? Do you ever see that episode of Simpsons where Rachel Simpson is actually someone that works at our sales house.
I was like, Rachel?
No, she's called Lisa. Who's Rachel? Lisa Simpson. She. What's the name of the little guy in the classroom who's really sweet? And he gives her a Valentine's card. Ralph. And it says, I choose you.
Oh.
And it's a picture of a train. He's like, I made you this card. I choose you. And it's got a train on it. It's really sweet. And then later on, they go on a date. And then there's this part where someone takes a picture of it or something, and you actually see the moment where Ralph's heart breaks when Lisa tells him that she doesn't really like him that much.
Aww.
Brutal.
That's
so
how
brutal.
You felt.
And that's how I felt about what? I can't remember
that
what we're talking about.
That
oh, yeah, the tweet. Oh, yeah. I was devastated.
It really resonated, didn't it?
I was so devastated. We've got to get better. There's so much going on.
To be fair, you had a good reason. You're moving house.
Yeah, I have moved house. I tell you what. There's very few things on this planet that I've currently been subjected to that I like less than moving house. I hate moving house. I found myself in these situations where I'm like in a room full of boxes and Mel says to me, right, Alex, I want you to put those things over there, and I'll just be in this room of boxes and I'll just turn in circles, just turn around and around looking at all the boxes. Like, it's literally like hell for me.
You sound like the worst person to help during a move.
It's hell. The removal men came to do all the removing because... like, I can't do it. And I was trying to clean up the house. I can't have spoken about this because that's only just happened. But I was trying to clean up the house, like trying to do the hoovering and like wash things down to the people that are buying our house because they were moving in at 12 o'clock that day.
Wow.
And we were like still packing up on the way out. So I had like all these, I wanted it to be spick and span. So when they came in, they'd be like, oh, it's great. Oh, just as we'd remembered it, et cetera, et cetera. Because it's weird when you buy a house because you buy it. And then, like, loads of time passes. And then you move in. So it could be, like, 2-3 months before you even move in.
You kind of forget what it looks like.
So you forget what it looks like. And you've got this image of how it was in your head. And then you turn up and you're like, oh, no.
So I wanted to... this is the wrong house! I wanted the other one.
Damn it, we chose the wrong one. So I wanted it to be like super clean and everything. And there was a moment where I was like hoovering the stairs and I broke a little bit of a sweat because I was getting quite full on with my hoovering because we've got cats and it was like quite deeply ingrained into the pile of the carpet. Mm. And this removal man came down the stairs holding this like chest of drawers. And he looked at me and he could see that I was sweating. And because I was really embarrassed because I was so sweaty, I went, oh, I'll tell you what, it's thirsty work doing the hoovering. And he went, yeah, you should try being a removal man, mate. I was like,
oh,
it was literally
Alex.
Carrying a chest of drawers that I couldn't even lift off the floor, let alone carry down the stairs while engaging in conversation. So, you know, everything about you I hate, but I am now in my new home in a whole new village. Me and my wife have moved to a new place, so there's new pubs to try.
Did you get like a welcome basket from your neighbours?
We didn't. We made a welcome basket for our neighbours, though.
Oh, nice.
How good was that?
Way to get in with the neighbourhood watch.
Bottle of Pinot and a box of Lindt chocolates.
Really nice.
Pushed the boat out.
Did anybody say thank you?
£7 that cost me.
Did you just do one?
What do you mean?
One basket. How many neighbours do you have?
Oh, I've only got two neighbours at the moment.
Oh, okay.
There's others, because we're in like a new build and there's other houses still being built.
Oh.
So we don't know who's going to move into there. Ooh, all the fun of the community. But yeah, then this woman came round from like the Residents Association and she was like, would you like to join the, almost said where I live, the so-and-so Residents Association? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. How much does it cost? Thinking she'd say like, oh, it's 50 quid a year or whatever. And she was like, just £4.
Oh,
like, £4.
That's so cute.
So like, what do I get for my £4? She was like, well, you get a biannual brochure. And she handed me my brochure.
Right, so that's every other year?
Twice a year. What's that?
What?
Twice annual.
I don't know.
I don't even know. But anyway, I got this little brochure with like farming news.
Living in the countryside?
Living
now?
In the countryside, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Proper countryside vibes. It's amazing. I get off the train and I just walk into a field. I'm like, whoa, I'm in a field. This is awesome.
Nice.
Anyway, so very, very new and exciting. So that's all happening. That's all going down. I should at this juncture explain what the hell's going on. My name's Alex Baker. This is my show. It's called The Alex Baker Show, which is not the most imaginative titles I know. But what happens is we sit around and we talk about various different things. What is that? Oh, it's my basketball vest. Coming up, we're going to talk about Cilla Black. We're going to talk about Cecile the Lion. We're going to talk about a Chinese school in England and loads more stuff. Before we get onto any of that, though, Renee is in the studio with me. Hello, Renee.
Hi.
How are we?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you feeling like particularly nervous or weird about proceedings today? You're just totally normal, totally chill?
Yeah, totally chill.
Yeah, you look totally chill. And the reason I ask this question is because sitting to Renee's right, on my left, or actually kind of directly in front of me, where Kevin Hingley would usually sit. Where is Kev tonight? Why can't he come?
I don't know.
Some crap reason. Anyway, Kev's not here, but instead, a chap by the name of Dan is here. Now, regular listeners to the show might think, Dan, why do I know that name? It's probably because it's quite a common name, but also...
No offence.
Because, not common like, oh, common as Mark, just like with regularity. But also because Dan is actually Renee's boyfriend. Renee's boyfriend in the morning. How weird is this?
I know, who's that aimed at?
Both of you.
Yeah, it's all right for me. How is it for you?
Oh yeah, pretty different to my normal job.
So Dan got in touch and he said
he tweeted him.
He actually emailed me and told me that him and Renee were having problems and wanted to know if I'd be willing to counsel them through it. None of this happened.
Yeah.
I hope you're not actually having problems.
Yeah,
that'd
it's
be
really
awful.
Awkward. Yeah. We actually broke up just before we came.
Oh
in
my
here.
God, that's so awkward.
Oh, of course, that is
a second. But you guys are supposed to be going out for a romantic meal tonight, and I was just like, oh, well, why don't you just come and do the show instead?
I think it says a lot about our relationship that we're both like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, fine.
Just sack that
sack off.
Sack
off the plans.
And come and hang out with me. So how you doing, Dan?
Yeah, good. Really good. Thank
What's
you.
What's it like going out with Renee?
This is so awkward. I can't look at him.
I know.
Always good.
Oh, stop it, Dan.
Oh, is there any dirt that you can dish? There must be some dirt.
I can just see you looking at me.
I don't know, on air. Maybe off air.
Off air, but not on air. Oh, okay. So there is actually some dirt.
Nah.
She's a nightmare, isn't she?
I am a pain in the ass.
Is she difficult to live with? Because you guys actually live together. Usually when relationships happen, it's like there's like a big expanse of time before you sort of move in together. But because you guys are either just lazy or it was just love at first sight, you actually lived together already and then started going out.
It's a Monica and Chandler situation.
I had this image of like you like going, getting ready to go out one night, right. So Dan and the guys were like, right, we're going to go out on the pool, and Renee and the girls were like, yeah, us too. And then you guys just looked at each other and went, actually, you'll do. Just stay in.
That's exactly what happened.
Is that what happened for real?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just easy.
But it was a little bit romantic.
Oh, really? What was the romance? What's the story? I want to know.
Nothing. We were just like hanging out all the time, and it's like, oh.
Oh, cringe.
I know. It's horrendous. I feel like the listeners are not going to be too entertained by this story.
No, well, you know.
But all you need to know is that Dan is here and he's fit.
I just want to... Oh, look at you. I just wanted to sort of engender an awkward atmosphere just for the duration of the show. I want to keep the atmosphere in the studio as kind of awkward as possible.
Do you think like an episode of Main Chelsea just have loads of awkward silences? Just be like...
So, Binky, that's the only one I know. Did I tell you the story about how I spent a whole day with Jamie from Made in Chelsea and didn't even know who he was? So years and years ago, like I went to this, this makes me sound like a but I was invited to Channel 4 to do this filming for this TV show. But the weird thing about it was that it's a really long story. And actually it's a story that we told on air years ago, but I won't go into it again now. But essentially I was only going to be needed if a certain thing happened. So I actually spent, and as same with Jamie from Made in Chelsea. So we're both in the same situation where depending on what one of the contestants on the show did, we either were going to come out onto the show or not.
Oh, can I guess what show it was?
Yeah, you can.
Is it the one with Davina McCall and they ask questions? What is it? In the £1 million drop?
No, it wasn't. But that's a good guess. No, it was a TV show called, I can't even remember what it was called. It was called Baggage and it was hosted by Gok Won.
Oh, I remember that!
Yeah. It was that.
I really liked it. It was really bad.
It was really bad. And I think it only had like 3 or 4 episodes and they just canned it because it was rubbish. But I went along because I was one of my mates' baggage. So anyway, that's the story. But I was in the green room. So I spent this whole day in this green room backstage at this big studio. And I was there with this guy called Jamie, who seemed like a nice enough guy. And like we just hung out and chatted about life, the universe and everything. And he just seemed really safe. And then one of the runners... So Jamie needed to go on the show, right? So one of the runners turned up and knocked at the door and said, Jamie, we need to get you on. We need to get you on the show. And as he opened the door, this must have been the first time that she saw him. And she kind of went white as a sheet and went, oh, sorry, Jamie. We need to go. You don't mind, do you? Is it okay? And I said to Jamie, I was like, wow, she was acting really weird. And he was like, yeah, I know, strange, hey? Like, he was so chilled about it. He was like, strange, hey? I don't really know why. And I was like, yeah, well, anyway, blah, blah, blah. I literally had no idea that he was, like, some superstar. And then I was waiting in the green room. Someone else said to me, you do know that that's, like, Jamie from Made in Chelsea, right? Who's, like, a multi-millionaire and, like, has, like, millions of followers and he's on Made in Chelsea. I was like, nope, never heard of him. Don't know what you're talking about. But he was super safe.
He seems like a nice guy.
He was really nice.
Can I get that vibe from him?
Completely down to earth. Completely DOE, you know?
Just
something I'm chucking out there.
Dare Amy?
Down to earth. Oh, no. That's O isn't down, is it?
No.
Down to earth. DTE. Totally DTE, mate. Anyway, so that's what's happening in the studio. I hope you're enjoying yourselves wherever you are. Thank you very much for inviting us into your ears for the evening. Much obliged. Have you heard about Cecile the Lion? Now, is it Cecile the Lion or is it Cecil?
When you said Cecile, I was like, what, Cecilia?
But
that's
like, breaking my lion.
No, I thought it was Cecil.
Cecil.
What do you think?
C-E-C-I-L.
Cecil was male, so I imagine he prefers Cecil.
Cecil. Oh, because it was a dude lion, because it had a mane and stuff.
Yeah, he was a Mufasa.
So we've not really spoken about this because we didn't do the show last week, but a man, a dentist in the States... paid a whole bunch of cash, $50,000.
Yep.
And went to, where was it?
Zimbabwe,
I think, yeah. And he hunted and killed a lion. And then it turned out this lion was like a YouTuber or something. It was like a famous lion.
He was a blogger.
Yeah. Like everyone was into this lion.
Like this fashion blog, he travels.
Yeah, it was like big into Zimbabwe like life,
he's
right?
Like big in the lion game.
Exactly. Big in the lion game. And this stupid... an American guy went over there and blasted him away with a shotgun, and then everyone's sort of up in arms about it. But two things. Firstly, it kind of annoyed me that everyone was up in arms about it because he was a famous lion, because that sort of detracts from the fact that it's still really bad that he just killed any old lion. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I said. I think that this dentist guy shot the wrong lion. because if he, normally he would have just shot a lion and nobody would know. Nobody would have known. It's only because this is famous lion that we all found out about it, and now it's like a whole thing. They're projecting animals on the Empire State Building because they're endangered, and it's like don't.
But
kill
it's
a lion.
Good though, don't you think? It's good that like people are actually, you know, I like the fact this has got traction, because going around like hunting animals is kind of bad. But there's this whole interesting thing's happened online where this always happens. I love it whenever something like this happens, people always like totally throw their toys out the pram and go buck wild about it. And there was, I saw this whole like whole vegan and vegetarian sect like springing into life, talking about how repulsive it is and all the rest of it. It's like, just because you don't want to like hunt lions, that doesn't mean that. That doesn't equate with being a vegetarian. Do you know what I mean? It's two very different issues.
Everyone, if you're against Cecil, be a vegan.
Yeah, no. It's like, it's not really how it works. But I'd be interested to know what your thoughts are on that. So hit me up on Twitter, at Kerrang Radio. Is it wrong that people are equating those two things? I think there's very different arguments going on there. Hunting for sport, for jokes, because it makes you feel badass or whatever, and being a vegetarian, kind of a bit different. You know, you're allowed to be a meat eater and not want to kill innocent animals. Are either of you two vegetarian?
No,
don't be daft.
I think the whole Cecil thing, there are like quite a few different arguments going on there. So you've got the whole hunting for sport, like fox hunting thing.
Yeah.
But then you've got like the whole like hunting because it's like overpopulated. Is that a problem?
Well, like and a then, badger cull.
Yeah, because there's that other woman like on Facebook who's like pictured with like, she'd shot a giraffe.
Yeah.
But she did it in a country, maybe, I'm not sure what country it was. I'm not going to just.
Well, there's like
one.
An abundance of giraffes.
Yeah, and there's loads of them and it's legal to like hunt them.
Brutal.
Yeah, but it's really sad. But you know, I don't know.
But that's so brutal because the flip side of that is, right, is that you could start to say that there's too many humans in the world. So what are we going to do? We're going to all start like watching The Purge and taking tips from that and start murdering each other on one night each week to keep numbers down.
A week? One night a week?
Oh, no, one night a year. Oh, sorry, is a year okay?
Yeah, a year's fine.
But those sort of situations, that makes me think about another thing. Did you ever see that TV show Utopia?
No. So, I started to watch it and then I stopped watching
Utopia is amazing. It has loads of the same cast as that human show that's actually on right now, which you're obviously not watching because you're listening to this, right? Yeah, got you, cool. But yeah, it's the same lot of similar cast and I think similar producers and stuff involved in that. But the premise in Utopia was that there's too many humans in the world, and because of exponential population growth, in the very few years to come, there's going to be literally too many humans, and resources are going to be scarce, and people are going to start turning on each other because there's not going to be enough food, not enough resources going around. So the idea was that the shadowy government created a virus that wasn't real, and then created an immunization that wasn't actually an immunization because the virus wasn't real. But what the immunization actually did is sterilized men and women.
Oh, wow.
So that you couldn't have kids.
So then did they just give that virus to everyone? No, so they
made a scare. They did like a bird flu type / Ebola type scare where everyone's like, oh my God, bird flu's going to wipe us out, and actually kills less people than regular flu.
Yeah.
You know, so they you know, they did one of those kind of things, but on a massive monumental scale, produced this fake vaccine, put it out into the world. Everybody got vaccinated by the fake vaccine, but it actually sterilized them.
Wow.
And that was like their solution to sort of preventing us getting into a situation in the world where there was too many people. And do you know what? I know we've kind of, it feels like we've gone off on a tangent a little bit, which we do a lot on this show, but that kind of, there's sort of two very strong arguments there.
Sides of the same coin.
Yeah. Because I mean, like, you know, that's like killing loads of giraffes sounds really awful and really bad.
Yeah.
But you don't want there to be giraffes everywhere you go. Imagine if we left the studio now.
I would love that. I love giraffes. They're my favourite land animal.
Yeah, but if they were everywhere.
Yeah, it'd be well good.
All the time.
Yeah.
You just nip into some shops and you've got to like work your way through the legs of many giraffes.
Yeah, amazing.
That'd be awful.
And then start fighting and then it's like, oh God,
yeah,
Larry,
they're smashing their heads against each other and you're just trying to like watch the film or whatever and they're all sitting in front of you.
Yeah,
imagine them
be
at
annoying.
Festivals. Nightmare. They'd have their iPads on their heads recording it.
Yeah, but you could probably like ride them.
Well, you can't. Yeah, but they're wild. You can't just hop aboard. They're not be like, oh yeah, all right, Renee, we like you.
Maybe.
You're a supporter.
Supporter of the giraffe course.
Yeah, that's not how it would work.
Mm.
They'd be everywhere. So yeah, it seems like killing in all instances is wrong. But you know, but that's the thing about Utopia is they weren't actually killing people. That's the key point is that their argument, the shadowy government's argument was, isn't it better to do this? to sterilise people so they can't have any more kids. Isn't that better
to actually kill them
than rounding people up and killing them because there's too many?
Mm.
And do you know what? It kind of is better. Yeah.
Could you imagine, though, sterilising people without them knowing? That's surely against human rights.
Obviously! It's totally awful. But it's still better than killing people or watching everyone kill each other, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's better that we just all implode. Who knows?
Yeah, but this is the thing. It's like...
Let's ask that YouTuber lion. He'll have an opinion.
I don't know. My biggest issue with the whole Cecil thing was that, like, there are so many bigger things going on that, and then people were focusing on the death of this lion as opposed to, like...
Oh, so you're not on the lion's side?
No, I do feel bad for the lion.
Yeah.
Because he was just going about his life. And also, he was, like, poached away from...
Poached? Because that's what you do with animals, you poach them.
But no, but that's what they lured him out of his enclosure. Like, and then they killed him.
He was only just trying to have a lie on as well. Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was
a rubbish
I was trying to make a jungle pun, but they're not in the jungle, so that'd be
inaccurate. So that's bad. Watch Utopia as well, because it's amazing. Lots to think about there. In other news, so it's not just a lion that died. Cilla Black died.
You're my world, you're every breath I take. You're my world, you're every move I make. Other eyes see the stars up in the skies, but for me they shine within your eyes as the tree.
Now, people listening to this now are probably going, oh, Alex, don't talk about Cilla Black. We don't care. She just hosted that surprise show before Holly Willoughby took over or whatever her name is. Was it Holly Willoughby that took over? Who knows? Who cares? No one watches it. But anyway, I was having a conversation with my mum, and it turns out, because actually, let me backtrack. When Cilla Black thing happened and she died, loads of people were really upset about it. And I was like, wow, people are really upset. And you know, usually when someone dies, the report kind of goes, oh, the tragic circumstances, so-and-so has died, and isn't it a shame? But they do have a long history of drug abuse, or, but they were a pedo, or, you know, but there was that thing where they killed that person, and it was always a bit shady, you know, or they did, like, beat their wife. Do you know what I mean? There's always, like, a sad subtext, like a depressing kind of desperate subtext.
Oh, it's sad that they've died, but actually they weren't that nice of a person.
But they're a bit of a dick. Mm. You know, like, so that happens pretty much most times. That someone, like, so when, like, Diana died, that's why it was so sad, because people were like, yeah, but she was just safe. Like, there wasn't anything bad about her, really. Mm. Oh, well, I remember that time when she tried to save loads of people from landmines.
Yeah, oh, no, and that time really she actually, like, touched sick children when no one else would.
Oh, yeah, that was really amazing. She's just actually the people's princess.
And she actually went out into those countries. Oh.
Yeah, oh, God. Oh. Yeah, but, you know, when Cilla Black died, there was no negative. There was no, like, negative subtext. And I thought that was really sweet. And actually, it seems like a golden gem has been plucked from our... from her mortal coil. So I spoke to my mum about it, and it turned out, I didn't know this, it turned out that Cilla Black was actually a, like, f***ing legend.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, well, it turns out she was a massive racist.
No, no, no.
Yeah. Like, oh.
She would have hated you.
Like, really just shattered the illusion. Like, her name's Black!
Yeah. Wait, no, her name is actually Priscilla White.
Is it?
Did you not know that?
No.
Everybody knows that.
I didn't know that.
Her actual name was Priscilla White.
No, are you joking?
No, for real.
Are you being serious?
For absolutely for real. Her actual name is Priscilla White. And then she got fat. You might not know this either, but the Beatles, John Lennon and the Beatles gave her first break. And I think it was them and a bunch of other people that convinced her to change her name to Cilla Black.
Oh.
She started out life as she's an amazing singer, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't really know this. I just thought she was like a cheesy TV show host. Like, she hosted, like, Blind Date and Surprise, Surprise and all this kind of stuff when I was a kid. So I just thought that was her vibe. But it turns out she was like a fashion icon for a start. My mum used to be a fashion designer, and she was telling me about how she used to watch what Cilla Black would wear and then, like, draw loads of designs that were, like, based on the things that she was wearing, and then they'd become commercially available in the shops. You know, that's like,
cool. She was kind of like a Lulu-y,
yeah,
twiggy kind of...
Yeah, like super cool, super sort of 60s chic and all that kind of vibe, with, like, really cool hairstyles and that stuff. And actually, she also had an amazing voice, and she wanted to get into show business. And she wanted to find a route in. And rather than going on gothinkbig.co.uk, the joint venture between O2 and Bauer Media, where you can find all sorts of inspirational ways to get into the media, that wasn't around then. So rather than using that brilliant resource that's available for everyone online right now at gothinkbig.co.uk, rather than going on there, because it didn't exist, she just decided to go to her local club, which is called the Cavern Club in Liverpool, and said, I just really want to work here and be in this environment. So she got a job as like a coat, like hanger girl. Mm. What's it called? Like a cloakroom attendant. Yeah. So that was what she did. And then the Beatles started playing with her, started playing there at the Cavern Club. And they used to ask her to come up on stage and sing because they knew she liked to sing. And then she got an audition with this amazing... She went to an audition that the Beatles set up for her and she flopped it because she was so nervous. So she just completely messed it up. But the Beatles convinced the manager to like try her again. So they tried her again, signed her up. Stardom awaited. So
that doesn't happen these days. You can't like go to a pub and then it's like... Oh, yeah, there's a band who plays here, like the Foo Fighters. Like, you know, you can go up on stage and sing with them if you want. It's like, oh, yeah, hey, Dave, what's going on? And then that doesn't happen anymore. You can't do that.
I kind of sort of happens a bit. It does sort of.
Oh.
It's a bit more fractured, though, isn't it, now, the music industry?
Yeah.
Because back in the day, like, if you think about it, there was only, like, a certain amount of outlets. I know, we're speeding into another topic here, but there used to be, like, back in the day, there was only a few different outlets for music. So you'd either read about music in magazines, so whether that was, like, Melody Maker or Kerrang or whatever it was. Bear in mind, Kerrang's been going for, like, 30 years. Whatever it was. You'd read those magazines and find out about artists and bands, or you'd see them live. That was it. There was no other way. You know, maybe you joined their fan club and you got some stuff in the post.
Yeah,
but that was
like
it.
A signed poster.
Yeah, so what you had there is you had the ability to control who makes success, who gets successful and who doesn't. You know, as the media and as like management and as bands themselves, they had this incredible ability to sort of really target people in particular ways so that artists would only get seen in the light that they want to get seen in. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They'd be written about in ways that helped their sort of mystique and their career. All this kind of stuff would go on, and the media was so powerful because they could literally make or break an artist like that. And it's really different now because there's so many outlets because everybody's online, everybody's on social media. I was talking to a guy who's in a big band the other day. I won't mention who because he wouldn't want me to talk about it, but he's in a really, really big band signed to a major label, and he's on Twitter, and he was telling me about how he struggles with it because he feels like he's almost too accessible.
Yeah.
And it sort of ruins his kind of rock star mystique. And he didn't use those exact words because he's not a cock, but that is basically what he was saying. Do you know what I mean? And it's a shame. And I think actually we're struggling at the moment with finding like major acts to headline festivals because there aren't enough really legendary big artists out there. And I really genuinely believe it's because of the internet diluting everything.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because if it was 20 years and we look back, like who's going to be around?
Yeah.
Like, who are we going to be like, oh, they were amazing. Like,
exactly.
We don't have any, like, Whitney's and Mariah's or, like, any of those.
There are a few, but the only real ones I can think of, like, off the top of my head, are people like The Killers and, like, Coldplay.
Yeah.
You know, those sort of, like, legendary bands that have now built up 7 or 8, like, platinum albums and have really ingratiated themselves. Because if you think about a band like The Killers, they've only been going since... I don't know, 2001 or so. So they haven't been going for ages. They haven't been going since like the 60s and 70s, like the Rolling Stones and people like that. So, but yeah, people like Jason Derulo.
Yeah, where's he going to be?
No one's going to give a shit about Jason Derulo.
That's the thing. There's loads of like pop music that's just not going to last.
People just wash their hands of it. Like Ariana Grande. Like, do you think someone's going to be 70 years old and requesting Ariana Grande
a
wedding?
She can actually sing. That's the problem. It's just the music that they're creating it's really sort of, what's the word when you just...
Throwaway, disposable.
Yeah, throwaway. Yeah, disposable. That's what it is.
But that's the situation. So I think there's a really interesting thing going on at the moment. And you guys listening to this now, hopefully you've got an opinion on this as well. If you do, hit me up Twitter at Kerrang Radio. But I think that people are starting to resent the fact that music is almost too accessible. I think like curation of music's becoming more important again, and people are looking to the media, so people are looking to Kerrang and, you know, for like actual review and intelligent information about the music that they should consume. Because it's impossible to, if you want to find a new band, you can go online and listen and spend a whole day listening to new bands.
Yeah,
you'll find
so easy.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of new
just
bands.
Just on SoundCloud alone.
Yeah.
That's not even including like the other platforms.
Everything else. And you know what? 90% of them will be all right, but only very few of them will be actually good. So what you need is someone to tell you which ones are actually good and have actually got legs, and then to whip up, which is what I try to do with Fresh Blood, try and whip up a scene within the industry about them to try and give them legs and help them get on a platform and get going.
To grow and flourish.
To grow and flourish. So anyway, how the hell did we get onto that?
Cilla Black.
Cilla Black.
Yeah. It was quite sad.
So that's what happened, you know. So the Beatles helped her out. She got a gig and off she went. And then she started getting into comedy and all this kind of stuff. So genuinely sad about Cilla Black. And I never thought I'd say that because I've always thought of her as just like whatever. Like she's
been around.
Surprise, surprise.
Around for a long time, but I didn't realise that's how she started.
Yeah.
And she just seems like so nice.
Yeah, everybody loves her.
Yeah, everybody loves her. There's not one bad word to be said about it. Like,
I watched a thing on BBC Breakfast with her, and it was Lionel Blair. And Lionel Blair said something like, he said something like, he was in the middle of his interview, and then he just looked down and went, "Do you know, I really miss her." And it was really sad. Like, the lady that was interviewing him, like, she could see, like, it really took her back, and she had, like, a tear in her eye, and it was really sad. Anyway, let's talk about Chinese schools next.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Oh, yeah. Talking about loud things convincingly. Oh. Wow, that jingle sounds so rubbish after the might that is lower than Atlantis.
Oh, I'm not really into that.
Never mind. What a tune. Right, so it's time for talking about loud things convincingly. However, tonight, it's a little bit of a twist. If you've never heard the show before, talking about loud things convincingly is quite simple. I don't like the fact that I don't have much good lad knowledge, which leads me to scenarios where I'm surrounded by people that are talking about stuff that I can't get involved in because I don't know anything about it. Football is a good example. People have started talking about the season starting again or whatever, and I'm thinking, oh, great. Oh, this is going to be loads of situations that I can't understand. You know, a whole bunch of my mates went to watch the football the other day. Oh, we're on our way to Wembley to go and watch this. We're on our way to Wembley, going to have some beers and eat some pies. And I was like, oh, am I not getting invited then? Well, no, you don't like football, do you, Alex? Oh, left out in the cold yet again. This is what I'm talking about. So I designed this feature with one intention: to practice talking about lad things convincingly. And this is the twist. Usually I'm in the studio with Kevin Heaney, who's as rubbish as a man as me. Totally useless guy. And he doesn't know anything about football or lad things. Although he did actually apparently know some stuff about cricket, which I was quite surprised
about.
Which
is like, it's so typical Kev, the most boring sport of all sports.
Pulls it out of the bag.
Yeah, of course, like, he knows everything about it.
If you had to associate a sport with Kev, you'd probably go with cricket, wouldn't you?
Or bowls.
Bowls. Yeah.
Curling.
Big time. Bowls. I reckon bowls is the one. I can imagine a really fat version of Kev playing bowls when he's like 70. Or even just now. Anyway, so that's usually the situation. But this time round, Kev's not here. And instead, there's a chap in front of me who's a strapping young man. This guy has muscles. His Adam's apples, bow, out like that. This guy is called Dan. And he just so happens to be Renee's beautiful chap.
Yeah, the mandem.
In the... Uh-oh.
No, don't you dare.
Uh-oh.
Don't
It's not up to me.
Dare.
It's up to the gods of rock.
Alex, don't.
They've not done it.
Thank you, God.
I think they've taken pity on the situation.
I can see the desperation in my eyes.
If a rap battle had happened then,
would
have been us three rap battling each other.
I would have cried.
That would have been bad.
It would have been horrendous.
Right, so, So, anyway, you're a strapping young lad.
Young lamp.
You little young lamp. Dan, so I'm assuming you... No, that's a real stupid assumption. I'm assuming that you know stuff about sport, because you can't look as sporty as you do. Not that you're sitting there in an Umbro top with football socks on.
Top to bottom feeler.
Yeah. But you have got... Oh, you've got Arsenal socks on. There we go. He's actually got Arsenal socks on. I can't believe it. That is amazing. I'm actually sitting in the midst, the presence of an actual real man. Which sounds awfully sexist. Women can like football too. But you know what I'm talking about.
It's true. We can.
You can. You can and do. And yeah, just don't first go shopping on this occasion. But I think what we need to do is this. I think Renee and I need to talk about lad things convincingly.
Yep.
And I think you need to be the judge as an actual lad. So if me and Renee, if we were in a pub on a date, hey, how do you feel about that? No, we wouldn't be. Bang, straight in the face. Oh, my headphones have fallen off. I can't tell if I'm speaking loud. Am am I speaking loud, guys? Oh, I was shouting. I've got them back on. Yeah, so if we're in a pub, hanging out, completely platonically, why don't I just keep not going there? Anyway, whatever. And we were having a drink and just talking about life, universe, and everything. She touched my leg. I don't know why. Stop doing that, Renee. Stop being weird about it. We're just out in a pub, just having a laugh.
Stupid.
Sorry. Can't help myself. But yeah, so we're having a chat about football. Right, let's do football, because the new season's starting. You know, I know all about it, obviously, being a lad. And you overheard our conversation. Would you be convinced that I knew what I was talking about? Right? You up for this? You're going to judge it. Right, so we have got only about a minute left, because that took so long to explain. So let's just plunge into this. I started last time, so Renee, over to you to talk about the... can we just get one thing straight? Is it the Premier League that's starting again?
It is, yeah.
It is the Premier League. Next weekend. It's Everton versus Watford.
No.
Damn! Chelsea, no. Everton versus...
Well, it might be.
I think it is Watford.
Yeah, maybe. Arsenal, West Ham, that's...
Oh.
Well, I know.
Oh, that's the big game, though.
Yeah.
So I was talking about the grassroots stuff, mate. So anyway, Renee, what were you talking about? You were telling me something about football, which I obviously know loads about.
You know what? When it comes to this season, right? Yeah. Like, I was buzzing for it. Just got a whole new Sky Sports package.
Oh,
like,
yeah!
Yeah, it's going to be so sick. Fully all sorted it out and the house and everything. And then, ready for the Premier League. It's going to be sick. Find out. BT Sports only gone and got Champions League.
Oh,
so
they
like,
have.
What am I gonna do? Like
they have.
Like that's just a pain. I'm gonna have to go and convince the other half. Dan.
Nightmare.
So let me get BT Sport as well, and it's just to be like, oh, but I'll tell you what, I can't wait to get that football back on the screen.
For me though, Rinaldi, it's all about football. You know, like I'm big into all the sports. Love them all. I love the basketball. You know, if I'm feeling a bit fruity, I love a bit of the baseball. If I'm feeling a bit American, I like to say, sport for every mood. But the sport that always gets me right here in my man muscle, in my heart, not my penis, is football. And do you know why they say that football's about the soul? I think they say something like that. And I've never really understood what that means, because the soles of football boots are actually quite sort of bumpy, and I wouldn't want a bumpy... Do you know what I'm saying? Anyway, I don't know. I'm not sure where I'm going with that.
But, you know, it's from the art, isn't it?
From the art, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, when those guys score those goals, you know, whoa, what a rush. I remember watching England back in 96, Euros it was, or World Cup, and, you know, the two, and matey missed that penalty. You know the guy, ugly one.
Neville?
Not Neville.
Southgate.
Yeah. He stood up to the plate.
Yeah.
He stood up to it. He did boom. Like all the confidence.
Heartbreaking stuff out was.
Literally every single one of us lads in the pub, all surrounded by women and beer. All of us were annoyed about it. Every one of us.
It was a really trying time for us emotionally.
No, trying rugby, actually. Love. Oh. Messed that one up.
This is embarrassing. We were doing so well.
We're talking about football. Suddenly she's banging on about rugby. Can't take her anywhere.
So...
Stop touching my leg. So there we go. What do you reckon? Would you be convinced? Or would you be like, what the hell are they talking about?
I think the BT Sport one is probably a complaint most football fans have got at the moment.
Yeah.
However,
so that was legit.
However, Alex then brought back a lot of painful memories for England fans across the country.
But then he didn't remember who it was.
No, but I did.
Matey boy.
Yeah, but you assume he was crying as it happened.
Exactly.
You can't see.
Scarred by the memories.
I feel like there's some sort of
that makes it more believable.
Yeah, if anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got my back, dude.
Yeah, this bro thing going on. Like, you're like a little bro allegiance, a bro alliance, and I don't like it.
Listen, you know, football unites us, you know? He's got the Arsenal socks. I've got the Tottenham socks, but in a kind of rivalry way. You know, we're comfortable with it. Are they rivals?
Yeah.
See, smashed it.
You just know so much about the football.
Smashed it.
I know all the facts about the football.
About the footballs. Anyway, so I won, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
high five up top. Come on, in your face. Right, up next. Don't know, I haven't planned anything. Oh, yeah, Chinese schools. But let's play something first. I don't know what.
The Alex Baker Show podcast.
Anyway, so welcome to the show. My name's Alex Baker. Let me just turn my headphones up a little bit because they're a little bit quiet. There we go. Yeah, that sounds better. I haven't got a lot of time left, which is a shame because, you know, plenty more headphone adjustment coming up. But I mentioned at the start of the show, I watched this program about Chinese schools. It's on at the moment. I can't remember what it's called. I can't even remember what channel it's on. So do some research and find out for yourself. But essentially, what they've done is they're doing an experiment where they brought a bunch of Chinese teachers over to the UK, put them in a school, and they split the school in two. So you've got carrying on as we are English school and new Chinese school. So it's all like UK pupils, you know, but the Chinese teachers have come across and started to teach in a way that Chinese teachers would teach to see how the British students react to it. Because the Chinese education system is very different from ours. They have things like morning exercise, and they do this, they do this thing where they energize, it's called energizing face massage. Every day, at one point during the day, they all stop and they do like, I'm just doing some now. Energizing face massage. And they're like taught how to do it. Weird is that? But something also quite cool about it. Morning exercise. On the face of it, you go, oh, how terrible, how awful. But imagine if when you went to school here in Britain, before you did any lessons, before you did any of the anything like that, you all went out into the field with your mates and did some like crazy sort of dance routine thing. Wouldn't that be quite an actually quite interesting, fun way to start the day?
No. morning exercise. I don't like mornings. I don't like exercise. So that sounds horrendous to me. However...
But what a good way to get your brain in gear.
That's the thing. Richard Branson did say that somebody asked him, like, what tip would you give, or how are you so successful or whatever? And he said, exercise. The first thing he does, he wakes up in the morning and he exercises. And that makes him X amount more, like, productive. Switched on and productive throughout the day.
Because it does. Like, I remember a period in my life where I was at my most productive. And that's when I was going to the gym every morning. Because you feel healthier. You get, like, a rush of endorphins. So you feel excited, you've got serotonin pouring around your brain, which makes you feel happy. And, you know, and it's de-stress. It de-stresses you as well. So, you know, if you're like smacking a punch bag or whatever and imagining a f***ing boss's face. Actually, I love my boss. So I don't know why I said that. But you know what I mean? Like those sort of situations kind of like are good for the soul. So anyway, they have that going down in Chinese school. And they also have like really ridiculously quick lessons. So not like quick in terms of time, but they'll just tell you information, then move on to the next thing. They don't stop and check whether you understood it or not. They just like crack on with the syllabus, with the curriculum, just telling you facts and hoping the kids soak it up. But in Chinese schools, apparently it works really well because they really do soak it up, because the culture in China is that if you're a kid, you're absolutely diligent. That's what you do. You want to learn. You want to study because you have it drilled into you that to have a good chance of success and being like bettering yourself in life, you have to spend your childhood years really going for it and getting stuck into the books. So one of the things that the Chinese teachers in the program struggle with the most is just keeping the classes under control. They don't get it. And there was this one point where the Chinese teacher was saying to this naughty girl, she was like, you know, in China, all I've got to do is raise my eyebrow and that kid knows they are in big trouble and they'll shut up and start concentrating. But here, I don't know what to do with you. I tell you off, you don't listen, you just laugh at me. I make you stand in the corner of the room, you just laugh, you don't care. I send you out and you just don't care. Like, what can I do? All I'm trying to do is teach you and you just don't care about me. You know, it's like a real sad moment.
Well, like, what are the punishments in China?
I don't know.
Because, like, here, kids are like, listen to me, like, kids nowadays, they're really wild because they know that teachers can't do anything.
There's no power, is there?
Yeah, they've got no power. They're not, I'm not saying that the teachers, like, punch kids in the face, but, like, no. But even if you had, like, oh, an after-school detention, it's like, well, you can only keep them, like, until three.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know? It's rubbish. Yeah.
It's just like, so, yeah.
But the impression I get in the Chinese schools from watching this show is that they don't really worry about that because the kids are well behaved because they want to be.
Oh.
Which is really mad. Like, you can't imagine
kids
that.
Don't want to be.
But what's really interesting is that it really highlights, I think, that there's a problem in the UK right now, insofar as that kids have kind of lost, or maybe they never had it, any sort of respect for the education system. And I know this sounds like a real fuddy-duddy old man thing to say, and I don't mean it to, because I was kind of naughty at school. I messed around, and I used to get in trouble as well, because being tall, I was always like, if all my mates were talking and I was talking, the teacher would notice me because I was tall.
Yeah, me too.
And they'd be like, oh, Alex is the ringleader. And I'd be like, what?
I'm not talking to myself. What the hell?
Exactly. I'm not sitting there nattering away to myself. You're tall as well. Did you have it at school? Did you get picked on?
I just sort of leaned down.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because that wasn't me. I'm small. But that's I think it's a situation that we have in the UK at the moment that's a bit of a worry that, yeah, like I said, I don't want to be a fuddy-duddy about it, but education is really important. And actually school, I know the schools have their problems and people, you know, get bullied and stuff like that. And those are real issues that need to be ironed out. And loads of people have experienced that. I experienced that. I'm sure loads of people that are listening experience that. And that's a real issue. But equally, the good side of school, the education part, the fact that you like get to hang out with your mates all day and don't have to go to work, all that stuff's quite good, really, and you don't really appreciate it when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a big difference between my education. Like, I didn't have a bad education, not really, but I noticed a big difference between my education and my wife's education. My wife went to private school. She went to boarding school, actually. And she, like, knows so much stuff. Like, she knows things. Like, if you asked her what the capital of this country is, she'd just know. Like, I'd have to go, oh, I don't actually know. Bloody hell, it's a bit embarrassing that I don't know that. She'd just know. If you asked her how to, like, calculate the tan of a triangle or whatever, she'd just know. Like, she knows this stuff. Like, I don't remember any of it.
God, don't talk to me about geometry, please.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like, I don't remember any of that stuff. I can barely remember how to do long division. And that
I can't remember how to do that.
How embarrassing is that? Like, 8-year-olds at school know how to do long division and I don't know how to do it. I'm 31.
But do you think the issue is, do you think it could possibly be a bigger issue that there's, like, some sort of Western world privilege going on? So, because we have everything so easy here, like, relative to other parts of the world, we just take it for granted. So we're just like, oh, we're in school now. Like, yeah, you just take... Whereas if you go to other countries or children from abroad come over here, they work really hard because they want to learn because they see the value in education.
Yeah.
Whereas here, we know that if we don't really work that hard through school, because think how many times, how many times people have been like, oh, I've got a few G's in GCSE and I'm all right, I've got this job. And everyone's like, oh, okay then. Yeah. Like, it's fine, I'm still going to get a job. Yeah. I'm still going to probably get a house somewhere, not in London, because no one can afford a house in London.
No.
But, like, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to be okay.
So there's not the same pressure. Maybe that is what it is.
And then maybe in China, there's so many people that you have to be the best, because if you're not, you're not going to get the job.
Yeah.
Because the competition is so rife.
How many people are there in China now?
A couple billion. A
couple of billion.
1.2 billion
people. All highly educated.
Mm.
They're going to rule the world. I'm telling you.
Kind of already are.
Yeah, I know. America's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, America's like so far down that list of like smartest kids and like healthcare and stuff.
I know. Really messed up.
We've got the best food, but like...
Yeah, well, it depends. I really like Chinese food, so there we go.
Yeah, but our Chinese food isn't Chinese food.
No, it's like a really bad version of otherwise a lovely food.
Yeah, we ruin everything.
We do. We made it claggy and horrible and put loads of MSG in it. Anyway, so try and find out what that program's called. No, really, as a sort of radio host and like a producer of content, I should really have figured that out myself so I could have given you that knowledge. Instead, I've just asked you to do some work. So I'm a bit like a Chinese teacher in a way, putting the power in your hands. We're out of time, guys. It's been a pleasure. Dan, lovely to hang out with you.
Thank you.
Sorry that I've just talked at you loads. But it's been a pleasure. Always welcome. I love how uncomfortable you've made Renee feel as well.
No, I'm just like, I just keep grinning at him.
Oh,
like,
so pathetic.
No, because I want you to say something stupid so I can be like,
you said something stupid.
We're like, yeah, whatever, Dad.
Isn't she lovely? Anyway, so see you later. Enjoy yourselves. I'll see you guys on Wednesday night for Fresh Blood. And then this show's going to get repeated after that. And onwards we go in this, like, spiral, really. Hopefully not a spiral of decline. New figures are out soon.
Huh? Yeah, Eric, if he's like...
The Alex Baker Show Podcast.